rest of you. Get your Bibles handy. I want you to find 2 Timothy chapter 3. And yes, we're going to preach the entire chapter today, but I promise I will not keep you here for 2 hours. Wow, not a single amen on that. I guess I could keep you here. No. Compared to the 6 hours Ezra had them stand, 2 hours isn't so bad, is it? Title of the message this morning is, But Mark This. Before we read the chapter, I want to point something out to you. The beginning of this chapter is used a lot to talk, to remind us of what this day and age is like. The end of this chapter is used a lot separately to remind us about how incredible the Word of God is and why it's reliable. But what most people don't understand is that these two parts of Scripture are all tied together and are part of one thought process. In all honesty, that's one reason why God is leading me to perhaps do a series on memes. What do you mean it's not? There's no sound? She's doing the... Pull your phone up and go for it there, please. See, the devil doesn't want this message out there, folks. I'll tell you right now, that's true. You have to do it online. All right. Can I tell you, the devil has come up with this great little thing where he gets us to picking and choosing a verse here and a verse there, and I'm going to tell you, that's not how we implant the Word of God into our minds. You can ask anybody that's done any kind of teaching. Students have got to learn to take things in context and see the greater context, not just a piece here or there. You know, Andres, if you had a student that came to you that had been in band for 4 or 5 years and they said, you know, I know how to play A, D, and G, but that's the only notes I really care about, they wouldn't be of much use to you, would they? They wouldn't be any much use to the band. Can I just make a statement this morning? People who are Christians can only quote a few little verses and don't know the Word of God in general in full are not much use to the kingdom of God, because the devil has got you thinking in little snippets, little commercials. We become the generation, we like our 30-second commercials. Amen? So this morning, we're going to look at the entire third chapter, and we're going to find out that it contains for us the answer. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with them. Now, before I read the next few verses, ladies, I want your attention. Up here. Eyes up here. If Paul were writing this today, he would say people, not women. But he was writing to Timothy about a specific case in Ephesus where it was the women that were the problem. So don't walk out of here today. So help me if I hear any woman walk out of here today saying, Pastor doesn't like women. So help me, my wrath will fall on you. I'll pray that you break a nail. No, I'm kidding. It says women here because Paul was dealing with a specific context. Can I tell you that's one of the frustrations that myself and many Bible teachers and pastors have when we fail to study the context of what the Word says. Paul had many women that were involved in his ministry. Paul had many women that taught in his ministry. So stop taking one little thing and building your entire belief on it. If Paul were writing this to the day, to the church in Clayton, and I don't mean just this church, I mean the church in Clayton, he wouldn't say just women, he'd say people, okay? But in the Ephesus church, it was the women. Are we okay now? They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over weak-willed women who are loaded with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires. Always learning, but never able to acknowledge the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these men oppose the truth. Men of depraved minds who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected, but they will not get very far because, as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, my faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet, the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Mark this. Several translations of the Word of God say, but know this, or you should know this. I love that phrase, but mark this, and I like the way the Message interprets it. Now, I'll just tell you, I'm not a big fan of the Bible translation called the Message, but this is one time I like what they said. It says, don't be naive. There are things going on in our world, and what bothers me is that the church today has become so naive about what's happening. We think the government's going to solve our problems. I got news for you. I don't care if it's Republican, Democrat, Green Party, Independent, Socialist, I don't care who it is. The government doesn't have the answer to our problems. Stop being naive. As a matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, Jesus says this, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. You know what the problem is? Most of us have got it reversed. We're about as gentle as snakes when we're dealing with people and shrewd as doves. Doves aren't very shrewd. Doves aren't very wily. They're not very smart birds, really. And how many of you know snakes are not exactly gentle creatures? And yet so many of us, we are as naive as the dove and we're about as gentle as the snake. We need to get it reversed. Are you hearing what I'm saying this morning? So when Paul says to Timothy, don't be naive, mark this, learn this, understand this, don't be surprised by this. He says, people. Something I caught here. He goes through this list, and we're not going to hit that list very hard. That's not the point of the message. People are going to be rotten in the last days. Now, the truth is, they were rotten in Paul's day, and how many of you know they're rotten today? We got people out there. That list is a perfect catalog of the behavior of people today. But here's where something that caught my attention this week. We usually want to relate that list to people outside the church, don't we? Do you notice there's not a qualifier? It just says people. I want you to look around this morning and tell me how many of you see people sitting in this sanctuary. Look around. People. People. Don't be naive. People. People outside the church. People in the church. People that are saved. People that are not saved. People that follow Christ closely. People that follow Christ afar. All of those descriptors describe us because that's the condition of mankind without Jesus. And the sad part of it is, for some of us, it's sometimes our condition even when we have Jesus, if we're not following Him close. I want to kind of springboard off of what Treva taught in the Sunday school lesson this morning. If the only time you interact with the Bible is when you're here on Sunday mornings, that's not enough. You need to be reading it yourself pretty much every day. And don't just read it for the sake of reading it. Don't say, well, I'm going to try to read so many chapters a day. I'd rather you read 5 verses a day and allow the Holy Spirit to help you digest it. I'd rather you read 5 verses a day and call me up and say, Pastor, I don't understand what it says. Can you help me understand it? Stop being naive. You cannot be an overcomer in Christ if you're not interacting with the instruction book of how to live life. Amen? Amen? Yep. And if you're not interacting with the scripture and you're not spending time in prayer, you're one of the people. Because when we're not staying close to Christ on a daily basis, when we're not in the Word on a daily basis, we start to do the things that are in that list. Boy, you're awful quiet this morning. But notice what Paul says in verse 10 and verse 14. Paul says this to Timothy. He says, you, however, but as for you, I wanted to see how honest you are this morning. How many of you find it's easier to go along with the crowd than to stick out like a sore thumb? Let me see your hands. Timothy, we know, was a timid man. Paul had to get on to him about it more than once. Paul, or Timothy, you weren't given the spirit of timidity. You were given the Holy Spirit, the spirit of strength and power. So he tells him in this chapter, he says, this is what people are like. But you, however, but as for you, Timothy, I say to you this morning as your pastor, and I love every one of you, as for you, as for me, we don't have to follow the crowd. We need to follow Christ. But mark this, stop being naive. Every one of us in this room right now, if we were honest, there are things that we are doing in our life. There are ways that we are living our life. We know it's not pleasing to God, but we're following the crowd because the crowd says it's okay. I'll tell you what, how many of you want the full blessing of God that He wants to give you today? You want the full blessing. Let me see your hand. If you do, then you need to do it God's way. It may not be the popular way. What society says is okay, but you know what? One of these days, it's not society that's going to judge him. It's him. Amen. Amen? But as for you, however, I want you to look at your neighbor. Now, wait a minute. Put a big smile on your face. Look at somebody close to you, and but as for you and me, we need to do it his way. Amen? But as for you and me, we need to do it God's way. I'm going to tell you right now, I've been serving the Lord since I was like 5 years old. I gave my heart to the Lord. 5 or 6 years old. That's been a long time. Longer than some of you here have been alive. Probably longer than your two ages combined. No, you're not. You may feel like it, but... Can I tell you from my personal experience, when I tried to do it my way or society's way, it flopped. Amen. But when I do it God's way, people around me may ridicule me. People around me may not understand. People around me may make fun of me. But you know what? That's okay if as long as I am in right relationship with my Heavenly Father. Amen. You, however, but as for you. And he begins to give Timothy some instructions. Now, I want to tell you this. The beginning of that scripture where it says people will be and it gives that long list, that's the passage. I've seen it on memes. I've heard it taught. I've heard it preached all by itself. And that's okay. But the last part of this chapter that we're going to jump into in a couple of minutes has also been taught and preached and memed by itself, and that's okay. But in all honesty, if we want to get the full impact, we've got to understand, Paul didn't separate them. It's all part of one thought process. That's why it's so important that we be careful about pulling one little thing, one little verse, and trying to build. I've heard people, and if you're one of these people, please don't get offended by what I'm about to say. Take it to heart. People sometimes will ask the question, what is your life verse? Now, a life verse that means something special to you, that's okay. But can I just warn you, be careful. Don't try to build your entire life on one verse out of the Bible. If one verse was all we needed, that's all God would have given us. But he gave us all the way from Genesis 1:1 to the very end of Revelation. He gave us the whole thing. Therefore, it must all be important. Amen. So be careful about pulling out one verse. How many of you know the comedian Tim Hawkins? Christian comedian? He's the one that did the praise songs and made them corporate songs like I Can Only Eat Margarine instead of I Can Only Imagine. He said he was in concert one time, and afterwards he was signing autographs, and somebody says, oh, write down what your life verse is. And he went blank on a verse in Psalms he loved. So he just randomly picked one. I mean, the Psalms are pretty good, right? He wrote it down for several people that night. And when he got home later, he opened his Bible and said, I wonder what verse I actually shared with them. And the verse that said something to the effect, behold, I had sores on my body and they oozed. And he gave that. See why you got to be careful about picking a life verse? Folks, we need the entire Word of God. Some verses will mean more to you than others. They will speak to you at a time in your life when you need them. But don't get hung up on two or three verses and think that's all you need. We need the entire Word of God. And I know some of it's hard to understand. The begats, the genealogies are not the most interesting. Read them anyway. Some of those names in the Old Testament are hard to understand. Read them anyway. Excuse me. Verse 16 now gives us the answer for today's problems. I want you to look at verse 16 of 2 Timothy 3. How does it start out? All Scripture. Your favorite TV evangelist is not your answer. Amen. Your pastor is not your answer. Amen. Heaven above, thank you for that. Don't put that on my shoulders. I couldn't handle it. Your spouse is not your answer. Your children, your parents, your best friend. The answer to our problems, and we already mentioned this, is not the government. The answer for every problem we face today is all Scripture. And Paul begins to share with Timothy. He says, you know the Scriptures. You were taught them from the time you were a baby by your mother and your grandmother. And he says, all Scripture is God-breathed. The next thing he says about it is it is useful. It is profitable. It is advantageous. Scripture is not just something, it doesn't have all three of those words. It says useful or profitable depending on your choice. I added the word advantageous because I looked up the meaning of the Greek word used there. Scripture is not just for preachers to preach and teachers to teach. It is a useful tool. It is a useful something for your life on a daily basis. Oh, but Pastor, you don't understand. My schedule's so crazy, I don't have time. You know what? You make time for what is important. Get off your video games, get off Facebook, get off the television, and spend time in God's Word. Wake up 20 minutes early. You won't miss the sleep if you're spending it with God. I promise. Scoot away from the table. You don't need second potatoes and gravy. Go read the Word. Okay, I'm talking to me mostly on that one. All Scripture is useful, profitable, and advantageous. Answer for everything we're facing today. Now, the next part we're going to look at, I'm going to be honest with you, I stole this from another pastor. Dr. Jim Bradford served as the Assemblies of God General Secretary for a while. Now he pastors Central Assembly of God in Springfield, Missouri. That church literally sits on the same block as our national headquarters in Springfield. They're both on Boonville Avenue. And Dr. Bradford, for a while, tried to fill both positions and felt that God was wanting him to give up one. He did. He's pastoring that great church. A little 3 to 5 minute clip. And I've preached and taught this passage before, but this is one of the best, simplest, most clear teachings I've ever heard on this next passage of Scripture. How is Scripture useful, beneficial? Well, we find the first thing it says, and if you jump into verse 16 with me, all Scripture is God-breathed. That means God gave men the inspiration. They wrote it in their own vocabulary, in their own character, but it's from God. That makes it trustworthy. And he says, here's what it is. Number one, it is useful for teaching. No, sorry. My fault. The first thing that it's useful for is teaching or doctrine. Now, there's two words I'm going to use that I don't want you to throw out of your vocabulary. Those are the words doctrine and theology. Those two words have got a bum rap among a lot of Christians. Doctrine is simply a word that means what I believe. Theology is a word that simply means to study God. I will tell you right now, if you want to take on the problems the world and the devil are going to throw at you, you better have some good doctrine and you better have a good personal theology. Amen? Amen? It's good for teaching and doctrine, which is simply another way to say this is what we need to believe. You want to know what you need to believe? It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Now, there's a lot of other good books and study helps out there to help us understand what the Bible is teaching. Even your pastor has to go to commentaries and other resources sometimes to help explain Scripture. But the Word of God is useful for teaching what we need to believe. Friends, can I tell you, you're going to believe something. You're going to have some kind of doctrine. What is it going to be built on? Hopefully the Word of God. Why? Because all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful. The second thing is it is useful for rebuking or reproof. Those are the things we need to stop doing. How many of you know that as long as we walk in this life, we're going to encounter things in our own life we need to stop doing? Amen? Because not one of us are perfect. We all have habits. We all have thought patterns. We all have things we do that we need to stop doing. Amen? None of us are perfect. If you're perfect, please leave because you're going to mess it up for the rest of us. We all have things we need to stop doing. God is working on us continuously if we let Him. How does He do it? Through the Word. As it's preached, as it's taught, as we read it for ourselves. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, and for correcting. Teaching is what we need to believe. Rebuking is what we need to stop doing. Correcting is what we need to start doing. You know what? It's not enough to put off the bad. You got to start doing the good. Because the truth is, if you just stop doing the bad and you don't fill the void with something, you're liable to have the devil come along and put something even worse in the void. Stop doing this. But do this. Amen? Amen? All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting. Teaching what we need to believe. Rebuking what we need to stop doing. Correcting what we need to start doing. And finally, please, it is useful for training or instruction. That is what we need to become. Listen to me. Jesus is more concerned about what you are than what you do. Because if you will become what you are supposed to become in Him, you will do the right things. See, it's easy to not be what we should be and fake it for a while. But if we'll let Him transform us to become what we're supposed to be, the doing the right things becomes a natural part of who we are. Amen? Okay? How many of you ever had somebody tell you, well, fake it till you make it? Hate that phrase. You know what? if I'm struggling, I'm not going to fake it till I make it. I'm going to let you know I'm struggling so you can pray for me, pray with me, so that I can be lifted up to be what I need to be. And can I tell you, there's no place in the kingdom of God for fakes and phonies. Amen. That's right. Truth will set you free. Teaching what we need to believe. Rebuking what we need to stop doing. Correcting what we need to start doing. Training what we need to become. And the truth is, those are the answers to that list that he talks about at the beginning of the chapter. Do you want to stop being a person who's a lover of yourself, a lover of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God? If you want to stop being all those things, start letting the entire Word of God be useful to you and let it teach you, rebuke you, correct you, and train you. Let's wrap it up with an action item. Go ahead. 2 Timothy 3:17, Paul says, "You let it do these things so that the man and woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Why do we let the Word of God become useful to us in all four areas? Because God's got good things He wants you to do for the kingdom of God, but you can't do them unless you allow the Word of God to work in your life. Amen? It's not just to say, "I've done it." It's so you can bless others. So here we go. James chapter 1, verse 22, and this is where Mary stumped on the sermon a little bit this morning. She quoted this one. James 1:22, I take it out of the New King James Version. But be what? Doers of the word, and what? Not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Deceiving yourself. Can I tell you this morning, if you sit here and all you do is listen to this sermon, and you go home and you don't pick up your Bible the rest of the week, and you don't read it, and you don't let it change you in some way, you are a doer of the word, maybe, or I mean, you're a hearer only, you're not a doer, and you're deceiving yourself, because you'll come back next Sunday and you'll say, "Yeah, I had a good week." Did you really? Can I tell you that there are weeks when I have gotten busy, and even as your pastor, I have not picked up my Bible for personal development, for personal devotion time, only to study for a lesson or a sermon, and I can tell the difference, because you know what? I'm not where I need to be. If I'm going to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, I'm going to begin to open God's word and I'm going to say, "Lord, let your word do all four of these things that you talked to Timothy about through Paul." But mark this, in the last days, there will be troublesome times. But as a follower of Christ, if you'll remember that all Scripture is God-breathed and useful, and you'll let it do the four things that he told Timothy, praise God, we can overcome whatever the world and the enemy throws at us. Amen? I want you to stand to your feet this morning. Stop being naive. I'm not going to ask you to raise a hand about this. I'm just going to tell you this morning, my prayer for you is that every one of us will leave this building and we will no longer be naive, letting society tell us what is right, but we will dive into God's Word and find out what His will is. And then we'll let Him, can you back up the slides a minute? Go back to where it has those four items right there. I want your prayer this morning to be, "Lord, as I look into your Word this week, help it to teach me, help it to rebuke me, help it to correct me, help it to train me." Amen? Take somebody by the hand as a sign of faith and agreement this morning as we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your word has been handed down through the centuries, that we have it. Lord God, for ignoring your word when we have so much access to it. Most of us have more Bibles than we need, and yet we still ignore it. God, forgive us. Help us this week to begin to open your word with a fresh heart and a fresh mind, open and ready to learn as you teach us what we need to believe, as you rebuke us, showing us what we need to stop doing, as you correct us, showing us what we need to start doing, and as you train us, showing us what we need to become in you. And we'll give you praise and glory for it in your wonderful name. And everybody said, amen and amen. God bless you as you go today.